It was on a gospel music station. I hadn't put it on that station, but it was on it. And that song was on, and I'd never heard it before. And God used that to speak to my heart the other day. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. Doesn't matter how bad you've been beat up. God can use anything. He can use anybody. Amen? As long as they want to be used by Him. All right, let me get this microphone going. I want to welcome those this morning that are listening by way of the internet. Welcome to our service this morning. And we're thankful that they've tuned in. And hope the Lord will be a blessing to them through the message this morning. Are we on? Is this one on, Stephanie? We got it on back there?
All right. I'm probably not going to move too much this morning anyway.
Turn to Romans chapter 7, if you would. Romans chapter 7. I'm going to give you something pretty simple this morning. Just want to help. It's been quite a... Are we not working here? Let me make sure I got it. Well, we're going to have to stay in front of this one. The batteries are not working in it for some reason. There's not any more, so we'll be fine. I'll just stay put. All right. Like I said, it's been quite a week this week, and... And I have not been myself, really, this week. Hadn't felt very good. So y'all pray for me this morning. I can hold my thoughts together. God will hold my thoughts together. I know He will. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 25. And that's where we're going to take our message from this morning. Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and following. The Bible says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for allowing us, Lord, to come into the house of God this morning, meet together with this church family. Father, I praise you for that. I give you glory and thankfulness. Lord, much thankfulness in my heart this morning for our church family. Lord, thankful for those who tune in to listen to us week after week on the internet. And Father, we need your blessing here. Father, we need your hand upon us, Lord, as we meet together. Lord God, as we come to the scriptures, Father, please help us. Give us understanding. Lord, some of these things we know very plainly, but Father, we forget them from day to day. And Lord, I just want to be a reminder to them this morning. I just want to help them to remember, Lord, what your word says about temptation and how we're to deal with it as believers. Father, I just pray, Father, your hand be upon me. Lord, I pray you'd help my mind to be clear. And Lord, help me to think sharply upon these things. Holy Ghost of God, illuminate my understanding. Fill me, every fiber of my being. Control me. Use me for Christ's honor and glory. Lord, please help me to be a help and a blessing, Lord, to these who've gathered to hear. Lord, we know it's all for you. It's all about you. And Lord, you're all that we have that matters. Father, I thank you so much for saving my soul. Thank you so much for calling me into this ministry. Thank you for using me. And Lord, I pray you'd use me today. Pour me out this morning. Fill me and pour me out, Father, for your honor and glory. And it's all for you. I give you all the praise and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now we read that, but did we understand what we read? Somewhat, but not quite. Well, let's kind of go back through it and simplify it if we can, just so we know we grasp what we read. Paul is talking about the law. He's talking about the law of God, the commandments that have been given. And the Ten Commandments, I've said this lots of times before, but I'll say it again this morning. The Ten Commandments are not for the saved person. Okay? The Ten Commandments are there to remind us all that we're lost and we need to be saved. Right? That's why they're there. The Ten Commandments are there to show us that no one can live up to God's standard. Period. They were not there as, I mean, yes, there are Ten Commandments. There are things that we are to honor. It doesn't mean we're not to honor those things. But what they are is a standard with what no one can live by. But Paul is addressing the law, and he says, wherefore the law is holy, and it is. God's law is right. The commandment is holy and just and good. There's nothing wrong when God gives us commandments that we're unable to attain to. Sometimes we fall short. We always do. We always end up falling short. And Paul said it's good. The law is right. And in verse 13 he says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. He's saying, did the law suddenly become my enemy? He's saying, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Once we get saved, And once we set out to live for God, we're going to look back at those commandments of God, and when we fail, we're going to feel horrible. Amen? When we fall short of God's commandments. That's what he's describing. He said, the law made sin exceeding sinful. The further I go as a believer, I don't know about you, but I'm speaking strictly from my own personal perspective. The further I go as a believer, the longer I know the Lord, the further I go with him, the more I hate my sin. The more disgusted I become by my own failures. And this is what Paul is saying. He's describing the struggle of daily living and trying to honor God and trying not to blow it, trying not to fail him, trying to please him with our life. And here he's got the law that's telling him how big of a failure he is. And he's saying, look at the law. The more I look at it, the more exceeding sinful sin becomes. And he says, for we know that the law is spiritual. God gave the law. He said, but I am carnal, sold under sin, which is basically a slave to sin. That's what he's saying. What he's saying is, I'm still carrying around this flesh and blood body. And this flesh and blood body is carrying around desires to do wrong. This flesh and blood body desires to do wrong every day that I live. He said, I'm carnal, and that's a fact. That's something you cannot escape as long as you live upon this planet. You will not escape your carnal nature. It is there, and it ain't going away. You can't undo it. I mean, you look at a child, a young child, from a very, very beginning, a young child wants to do wrong. It's just in our nature to do wrong. It's in a child. That's why one of the first words a child learns is no. They become defiant. As soon as they're able to understand what defiance is, they want to be defiant against what's right. It's our nature. He said, for that which I do, the things that I do, I allow not. In other words, I don't agree with the things that I do. And how about you? When you do wrong, do you agree with it? Of course you don't. You don't like what you do when you do wrong. He said, for what I would or what I want to do, that I don't do. I don't do right. I want to do right, but I don't do right. I don't want to do wrong, but I do wrong. He said, that what I hate, that do I. I do what I hate. And he said, if then I do that which I would not or what I don't want to do, he said, I do wrong. He said, but I know that the law is right. I know what God says right, even though I'm doing wrong. And here's what he said. Now then, it is no more I that do it, because I don't want to do it. I want to please God. I get up every day with the determination I'm going to serve God. I don't know about you, but I do. I get up and I determine I'm going to serve God today. I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to give him glory today. But I always seem to fail. I always seem to come short of what I intend to do when I set out to do it. He said, it's no more I that do it. It's sin that dwelleth in me. He said, for I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Listen, you can comb your hair, you can put on good smelling cologne or perfume, you can soap and wash yourself real good, put on clean clothes, and you can smell good and look good, but there's nothing good in you. The Bible says our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. We can't know them. We're corrupt. We're full of sores, the Bible tells us. We're rotten. Nothing about us is any good. Filthy rags, the best that we can offer. He said, for the good that I would, verse 19, let me keep going. I skipped that. All right. For the will is present with me. The desire to please God is present with me. I want to please God. He said, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I set out to do right, but how to get it done, I don't know. All right, he said, for the good that I would, the good thing I want to do right, I want to, but I don't do it. But the evil which I would not or don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. I do wrong. He said, now if I do that I would not, I do the wrong thing. He said, it's no more I that do it. It's sin that's dwelling in me. Folks, you're never going to get the sin out until you get to heaven. Right? You can't. You can't get it out. It's not going to go away. It's never going to leave you. He said, I find a law then. Or I find then a law that when I would do good, when I decide I'm going to live for God, I'm going to do right, I'm going to do something for God today, I'm going to please the Lord, he said, evil's present with me. The devil, listen, don't you know the devil hears you pray? Oh, he don't hear you, but his workers do. Don't you know that as soon as you set out to serve God, the devil says, uh-huh, we'll see about that. You remember, remember when the devil met with God over Job? He said, have you considered my servant Job? The devil was ready to show, hey, he can't live righteously. Let me see what I can do to him. See, that's the same thing, folks, that happens to you or I. All right? There's always going to be evil trying to stop us. There's always going to be evil trying to ruin our testimony, trying to destroy what God has built in our life. The devil will never. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Verse 22, he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's my spirit. That's the part of me that God brought to life when I trusted Christ. He brought to life the inward man, the spirit of God lives in me. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. In other words, the law of me knowing that God is right. He said, there's a law working in me, and it brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I set out to please God. I'm free. Hallelujah. Christ has made me free. But then I wind up at the end of the day in shackles to sin. That's what Paul's saying. I set out to do right, but I end up doing wrong. And he cries out in verse 24, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He hates himself. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of sin, a law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, God is allowing us to experience these things without a doubt. Why would God allow us to go through this? Why would God allow Paul to go through that? Why? Here's a simple reason. Because when we get saved, we don't become robots. We do not become puppets that God is controlling every movement that we make. We don't become mindless creatures who are just absolutely worked by God himself. God gave us a free will. God gave us a free will to choose either our way or his way. Amen. And God allows us to go through temptation. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're talking about dealing with temptations, continuing temptations, ongoing day after day temptations. The Bible says, therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. It stops us. There's that temptation that easily besets us or holds us back. So why does he do it? Why does he allow us to go through it? I want to answer that question this morning. Here's why. He allows it to bring us to the end of us. He wants to bring us to the end of ourselves. Just like we talked about, I think it was last week, or we talked about, was it last week? Yeah, we talked about the prodigal son. He came to himself. He came to the problem. God wants to bring us to the end of ourselves. Because see, what happens is, just like Paul, I know what God says. I know God's right. I know God. I know what God wants. And I want to give God what he wants because I love the Lord. He saved me. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my master. I want to please him. And what we tend to do is we tend to step out on our own strength. And it's really our own weakness. And we don't even realize it. When you and I set out in our strength to do, it's weakness. We try our very best to please God, but what we end up doing is we end up failing miserably. And sometimes it seems like God has to teach us the hard way that we can't live for him apart from we can't live for him apart from his strength. We can try our best, but we're going to fail. We got to have his strength. We got to have his wisdom. And we got to have his power. He provides that. We can't manufacture that. We can't come up with those things on our own. See, the Bible tells us that we're dead to sin. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have any more temptations. That's the thing we've got to get our mind around. Yes, we're dead to it, but the temptations are still there. Now, I want you to know the Bible does not teach that sin is dead. Sin doesn't die. Sin don't go away. No, the Bible teaches that we are dead to sin. Sin can tempt you. Sin will tempt you. That ain't in question. We know that. We're going to be tempted. The question truly is, do we believe what God has told us as to what took place when we believed on Christ? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are dead. Behold, all things are become new. Now, here's what God wants us to do. God wants us to come to him and say, Lord, I'm dead to this thing that's in my life that's a temptation. I'm dead to it. I know that because your word has told me. It's not based on what I think. It's based on what he has said. Understand that? That's the thing we have to get our mind around. It's, you say, my reality is different from God's word. Well, your reality is wrong. God's word is always right. God says that we're dead to sin, but yet we live as though we're not. Who's right? Am I right or is God right? Of course God's right. So I'm to go to him and say, Lord, I'm dead to this thing that keeps tripping me up. Lord, I'm dead to it. I know that. So I'm asking you to please take over my life right now. This thing is dragging me down. Take over my life right now and take it away from me, Lord. I don't want this thing to dominate me anymore. And once he takes over, we have victory. Once God's in control, once we've yielded and submitted to him, there's victory. There's forgiveness, there's cleansing, and there's victory. But just because we get saved, the temptation is a long way from being over. Jackson, pay attention this morning, son. Temptation is far from over. Actually, the temptations can even get stronger after somebody gets saved than they were before they were ever saved. I'll give you an example. King David. As far as I know, from what I read in the Bible, David was a great kid. David was a great young man. David was very valiant in everything that he did. I don't see anything in the Word of God that would tell me that he was anything but a great kid up until the time that he became king, and then he began to be tempted above measure. It was temptation that led him into doing what we talked about last week when he sinned against Bathsheba. Temptation. And the reason why temptations can get even stronger after you get saved is because the devil's angry. Because the devil has lost somebody that used to belong to him. The devil is trying his best. He's lost his hold upon us, and he's trying his best to cause us harm. Well, what difference does that make? Because when he causes harm in our life, he causes harm in other people's life. He can take the faith of someone who's just beginning to grow as a believer and take somebody who's been in the faith for a long time, and the temptations overwhelm that older person in the faith, and they fall down, and it causes somebody, a younger person's faith, to falter. The devil knows that. And because of that, he works twice as hard on those of us who have been saved for any length of time. Now, Paul's learned this lesson in Romans chapter 7, and that's what he's trying to get across to us this morning. Paul came to the end of himself as he struggled for victory over sin and its temptation. And he cried out in desperation, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" This body, this life, this old flesh. How am I ever going to get the victory over this? How am I ever going to get past this? How am I ever going to get to where I don't stumble and struggle so hard? Well, he cried out in anguish. How many times have I done that? How many times have you done that? Just got so disgusted with yourself and your inability to stay upright before God. And just cry out in despair and feel hopeless. Sometimes it can get to that point. I want to get right down to the nitty gritty and just talk to you on a personal level this morning, because, folks, I don't know about you, but I deal with these very same things. I mean, every believer does. Nobody's any different, whether they be a pastor or whether they be somebody sitting in a pew. It makes no difference. We're all made out of the same stuff. But a lot of people make a mistake. They get to that point where they feel so disgusted with themselves because they can't ever seem to get any further. They keep getting stopped every time they start out to serve God. And they sit down, they stick out their bottom lip, and they cry, and they feel sorry for themselves because they just can't seem to get over the hump and gain any ground. They live defeated lives, and they miss out on the reason God has them here to begin with. We're here. Our lives are here to be a testimony to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are here to be a testimony to what God can do. We're living epistles read by men, the Bible tells us. We're to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're ambassadors for Christ. I mean, that's what the Bible tells us. It's very plain. People say, I ain't no good. I just don't feel like God could ever use me. That's why that song struck me so hard when I heard it. I tell you right now, I have times where I feel sorry for myself. I do. I mean, I don't feel sorry for myself. I just feel sorry. I don't know if I feel sorry for myself. I get disgusted with myself. I just feel lousy. And I feel like, why has God even used me? Is God done? Does God not even want to do anything with me anymore? I don't know. Listen, I just get so disgusted with myself. But praise God, that ain't the attitude to have. And Paul didn't stop there. Paul didn't say, wretched man I am. God can't use me. I just can't ever seem to get over the hump. No. All we have to do is look at the next verse and see what Paul said. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the answer. That's what he was looking for. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Christ is our deliverer. He is our deliverer. Look at the very next verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here comes the law. The law comes along, and here's what the law says. The law says, you hadn't done what you're supposed to do, Thomas. You failed. Brandon, the law tells you that you failed miserably again. James, you didn't live up to God's standards again. The law comes at us and it tells us that when we read the Word of God. And it convicts us and it breaks us down and it makes us feel, oh my goodness, how lousy I am. But you know what God says? God says there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Yes, oh yes, we feel rotten because we failed God. But God says, wait a minute, hold on. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You say, but wait a minute, but the law says, doesn't matter what the law says here about this, because it cannot condemn us anymore. That's one thing we've got to get through our heads. You see, that's what stops us. We believe that, hey, we believe we're worthless because the law tells us that we are. But there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:13-14 says, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. He's made us alive together with him. Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What handwriting of ordinances? That's the law that condemned us. The law that condemned us. The Lord blotted that out. And you say, how did he do that? He did it with his blood. It was contrary to us. We couldn't live up to it, you see. And took it out of the way, praise God, nailing it to his cross. Now, there's people all over Paris meeting on Mondays and Saturdays who tell you that ain't so, but I can tell you right now, God's Word says they ain't so. God's Word says that Christ, when he went to that cross, he took it for me, amen? Listen, he took my condemnation to the cross of Calvary, and he took it on himself. And he was nailed to that cross, and my condemnation died there upon the cross of Calvary. But what about when we yield to temptation? What about? Because, listen, the law can say, don't do that. The Holy Spirit of God can say, don't do that. And yet, me, my flesh, say, but I want to. And it yield, even though I know with my mind it's wrong, and still yield to it. And then afterward, my mind convict me. And not my mind, but the Holy Ghost of God convict me. And what I know to be right in the Word of God, tell myself, you're wrong, you done wrong, and it make me guilty over it. Well, what about that? What am I going to do? What do I do? Well, the Scriptures are plain on that too. Confess it. Confess it. Don't sit down like, don't do like Paul, but Paul didn't stay there. Don't do like Paul and say, well, I'm just a wretched man. I can't do it. I quit. Don't quit. Confess it. You say, when, church? Right then. Don't wait. But God, but I just did it. God knows that. He was there when you did it. You say, well, I don't know if I feel sorry enough yet. Don't wait till you feel sorry. Confess it. Listen, sorry will not fix it. If God wanted sorry to fix it, God would have said, go to me and say you're sorry. God says, confess it. Let's look what he says. He says in 1 John 1:9, we know the word of God, if we confess our sin. I'm guilty, Lord. I knew what was right. And this old flesh pulled and I yielded. And Lord, I failed you. And I know it grieves you. And Lord, it grieves me because I've grieved you. And I don't want to grieve you, Lord. And I confess to you that I failed you and I want to be cleansed and I want to be forgiven. That's what we have to do. The Bible tells us that we need to admit that we have sinned. We need to admit that we have failed him. We need to admit that we broke our fellowship with him. Just like a child with a parent. When a child goes wrong and does something wrong, that child don't want to talk to his parent. I'm seeing that right now. I'm witnessing that right now. With one of mine that's grown and gone. Hey, he's doing wrong. That's why he don't want to talk to me very much. Amen. I know that's right. I've been in those shoes. You've probably been in them too. When you're doing wrong, ain't much desire to call home. We need to admit it. Lord, I failed. I hadn't wanted to talk to you lately because, Lord, I failed you. We're ashamed. We're guilty. And what do we need? We need to be clean. We got to go to him and say, Lord, I did it. I failed. Please. The Bible says he's faithful, though. He's faithful. He'll never, ever turn us away. Listen to me. I don't care how many times the devil tells you, you have failed too much. You have just done it. That's the last time. There was a line that God said, don't cross, and you crossed it, buddy. That's it. It's over. How many times has he lied to me and told me that? You know why? Because he didn't want me confessing. You know why? Because he didn't want me having fellowship. That's why. That's why he says, hey, listen, the devil knows the law pretty good. Devil knows the word pretty good. The devil will take the word and beat you over the head with it and make you defeated if you're not careful. You need to know what it says. He's just to forgive us our sin. Well, how is that so? Because Christ has already taken our sin. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin breaks that fellowship, but genuine confession and forsaking restores it and makes everything right. Once it's out of the way, everything's fine. It restores us to the joy of fellowship. And we enjoy, as God's children, we need that fellowship. Listen, you remember David in Psalm 51 when he's confessing his sin? He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When he had sinned against God and there had been broken fellowship, he had lost that joy. He had not had it in his life and he had been missing that. And folks, I'm going to tell you, when we get down like that and we fail God and we sit down and we quit, listen, we are deprived of God's fellowship. And there is nothing that you and I need any more than his touch in our life. Because without it, we are absolute zero. He said in John 15, he said, without me, ye are nothing. You can do nothing. Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. You are nothing without him. Amen. The joy left when we sinned against God. The joy left when we walked away. But the joy will come back when we come to him and get it cleared out of the way. And we may have lost our fellowship, and we may have lost our joy, but I'm going to tell you one thing we didn't lose. We didn't lose our place in God's family. That place is there, and it's secure. Paul realized that there was no way he could deliver himself from sin. And again, we set out time and time again to do it in our strength, as if we're going to be successful. And when he said, for I know, what verse is that? Verse 18. He said, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If there's no good thing in you, hey, listen, if there was no good thing in the Apostle Paul, I can guarantee you, you mark her down, there's no good thing in Brandon Teague. There's no good thing in Geraldine Taylor. There's no good thing in Joanna Henderson. There's no good thing in Charlotte Marshall. There ain't nothing good in Jackson Teague. There ain't nothing good in Janie Pierce. There ain't nothing good in James Sharrock. There ain't nothing good in Stephanie. There ain't nothing good in none of us. I mean, nothing about us is any good in this flesh. It ain't never going to get better. It will never. Your flesh will never, ever, ever be saved. It ain't never going to get any better. But there's deliverance in the Lord. There's none in you. You can't come to your own rescue. But there's deliverance in the Lord. And we're always going to be accused. Always. Till the day you die, Satan ain't going to hush. He's always going to accuse you every time you fail. He's going to jump up on your shoulder and try to make you feel like you shouldn't go on. But it doesn't matter how much he accuses me. It doesn't matter what he tries to do. He can't bring me under condemnation. There is no way. Because Romans 8:2 tells me, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death have no more hold on a believer because of what Christ has done. The law of sin and death held me down, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has lifted me up and given me the power to overcome sin. I don't have it, but boy, when I go to Him and I yield to Him and I confess to God and I walk in His light and leave it behind, there is victory. You understand? Satan, as long as I'm walking and holding hands with God, there ain't nothing Satan can do. It's only when I stop walking with God. It's only when I stop seeking His strength. It's only when I stop seeking His wisdom, when I stop seeking His vision, when I stop seeking His control. It's that moment that I begin to face defeat. It's not any other time. As long as I stay with Him, as long as I walk with Him, as long as I know that nothing in me can do any good, it has to be all of Him. When I'm doing that, listen, the devil can't touch me. The law couldn't do it. But Jesus could, and Jesus did, praise God. He died for our sin. He condemned it, and He removed its power over me, and He removed its power over you. Are you going to ever be tempted again? Oh, absolutely, you're going to be tempted again. You'll be tempted probably before you get out of here if you're not tempted already. You'll be tempted before the day is over, absolutely. But guess what? The power has been broken. That's what we have to remember. The power has been broken. The power was broken when Christ cried out from the cross, it's finished. What was finished? Sin's finished. Sin's power over me and you is finished. Sin doesn't have to destroy us. Sin doesn't have to hold us back. Sin doesn't have to keep us from growing. Sin doesn't have to cause us to hurt others. Sin doesn't have to, because Christ has given us the victory if we want it. The strength that's necessary for this life. The strength that's necessary to be an overcomer. The strength that's necessary to be a witness. It's in Christ. It's not in us. Lay claim on the victory. I wonder, is any of us living in defeat over something in our life? Lay claim on the victory. The devil doesn't want you to. Last thing the devil wants you to do this morning is to be active. Proactive and going to Christ this morning and saying, Lord, I need you to cleanse me. I need you to forgive me. I need you, Lord, to restore the fellowship that's been broken by something in my life, Lord. I don't want to walk in my own strength. I don't want to try to figure it out in my own wisdom. I don't want to do it because I can't. There's nothing in me any good. Lord, I want you and I want all of you. I want all of you that I can have. The devil don't want you to do that this morning. He wants you to keep on trying to figure it out. But it's all you need there in Christ, every bit of it. Confess your sin, forsake your sin, and experience the fellowship Christ intended for us to have to begin with. Amen? Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house. Father, thank you for these who've come to meet together. And Lord God, I just pray this morning that we would remember this as we go about our day, as we go about our life. Father, remind us that we have no power in us to deliver ourselves. Lord, there's nothing about us that's any good. Lord, remind us that our strength is weakness. Father, remind us that when we set out to try to do something only you can do, we are destined to fail. Lord, may we remember to come in weakness to you and yield ourselves to you. Lord, confess our sin. Cry out for cleansing. Lord, I'm so thankful today that you're my Savior. Father, I just pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, if there's a need this morning to come to your altar and have it cleansed out of the way, Lord, I pray, Father, we'd come, we'd turn it over to you, we'd yield to you, and we'd gain the strength that only you can provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glad the Lord has done all that.